just keep it a little soft here. That's Paul, and that's the bell. Sometimes people think I don't prepare. There are a lot of ways to get ready. And one way to get ready is to know what you're going to do and set out to do it, even if it kills you and the others. That's a way to get something done, and I'd say it takes a certain amount of preparation, but not a lot. Another way is to surround yourself with all kinds of options and variables, knowing that any one of these things has to do with the theme of the gospel and rhythm, and you can draw on them if you want to, if you need to, for all kinds of reasons you draw on them. It's working out of the margins. It's the notes in the margins. It's the things that spring off the right and the left side of your mind. It's the stuff that makes sense with the head and the stuff that makes sense with the heart. It means sometimes you follow the heart and the head says what the heart did. And that means you make sense out of something you felt or did out of feeling. And that's wholeness. You can do those almost at the same time. You can do right and left-handedness. Or you can do it like an hour of right-handedness and then an hour of left-handedness. That's another way to organize it. That would get to be a very tiresome day. If you felt in the morning, thought in the afternoon, and did in the evening. That would be called the emotional domain in the morning, the cognitive in the afternoon, and the motor skill in the evening. It's a good way to divide it up. And that's the way, it's the way a lot of things get done. We reduce it or organize it into catalogs like that, and they are very archaic. But people, and when we do that, we maybe feel we're very profound and sometimes very dull. And those sometimes don't go together, but sometimes they do. I do not know how profound we will be tonight. It's up to us. Because this kind of a thing tonight means we put together the meaning of it. There's no way in which I can shape the meaning or the sense of gospel and rhythm for you. But I can throw some of this out, and I'll be with you, and you'll be with me. Paul's with me now. Paul's got a rhythm going, and I'm going to read from a book. I was supposed to tell you that there are books that I have written in the library or in the bookstore, and if you want to buy them, you may. And I thought maybe I'd read from a few, and that might help. It might not. Paul gave me the rhythm now, so that's what I'm going to go with. And it's at a circus. And there are these two people on this swing. There was a minister who always went to a circus. And there were two people on the swings, always having fun. And the man had strong arms, and the lady depended on them. And when he held her and she was safe, the minister pronounced them man and wife. And that is where they wanted to be married. And they still spend most of their time in midair. That's what this one feels like for me. I'm not a dancer. Not really. I was never allowed. So I never got it quite put together. That's what I'm really kind of working through. Problem solving used to be called mental health. And you could get graduate credit in mental health, then it went to problem solving, and now it's called creativity. Once there was a girl who had a very special speech defect. When she was older, she went to a modeling school to learn how to be more graceful. And while doing it, her speech defect fit in with the new way she walked, and she dances beautifully, and those who know her especially like the way she talks, and now she teaches dancing to a professor of languages who thinks that he was born with a dancing defect. Aren't many courses on rhythm unless you take Greek A and Greek B and Greek C. That means three in a row. One's tougher, and then the next is tougher, and the next is the toughest. That's called rhythm. That's what the gospel is about. You get the right kind of combinations of rhythm, and you got a Pentecostal. You get another kind, you got a Lutheran. You put a different combination of rhythm, spend a little more time here, a little less time there, and a whole lot here, you get a Presbyterian. And that's called rhythm. Some people say, I haven't got rhythm, and they don't know that they have rhythm, but they have rhythm. One of the pieces of rhythm that they go into every day is called getting up, getting at it, and getting out of it, and getting back into bed. That's called a four-part rhythm. If you look in the back of the hymnal, you can see everything that goes 4-4-4-4 or 8-9-9-6. You can sing it to each other's texts. And when you meet someone like that, you feel like you found a friend. It's like singing one song that you know very well to another tune, and you kind of giggle while you do it and feel a little strange because you met another friend in another tune that has the same meter. I want to read another one, but I want Paul to go give me another rhythm. Oh, I like that. He didn't stop. Just kept right on going. Didn't act like he had to throw the guitar away, go out and find it and pick it up again, but kept going. It's called continuity. We sometimes do that by saying, and then that's called a bridge. I want to read spatial stories. I know the one I'm going to read is spatial because every one of these is spatial because everything is spatial. Once there was a girl who always held her hand up, and so her teacher didn't call on her anymore. She's a woman now. Last year she held her hand up in a meeting and the leader called on her. She was so frightened she forgot what to say. She is very careful not to volunteer anymore. She learned her lesson a long time ago. There's rhythm in that story, spatial rhythm. When she was little, and then when she was older. I'm not a mime, but I know a mime when I see one, and not all of them go to mime schools. Parables have a miming effect. They invite you in to think and to say what you think it means. And you don't have to agree with each other. You should probably agree with yourself. That's very important. Give me another mood. I want to do another one, Paul.
This is the cause for a pause.
All right.
What type of rhythm?
Boy in a jail. And the drums. For 10 years, Ken played drums, he told me about midnight, and so he brought his drums today right out of the woods. Right out of the mountains.
Gotta get them set up just
all right. I'm gonna do this like a PA. I'm gonna talk to you, and every sentence I say, you just say what I say, and you listen. Once I knew a boy who was always sent to his room. when he was bad.
Now he's older.
And has more time to be bad. The government has given him a room. A room of his own. He is painting a picture for a window. He has to stay in his new room 140 years. He is bad. Just like they always said. Bad. See, this is part of the 140 years. You know, print alone won't tell you how long 140 years can get. But drummers, and rhythm, and waiting. Timing. That's what rhythm is. It's timing. Some of the finest timing to be learned is the timing from the Roman Catholic Church called silence. I have a marvelous rhythm sheet here. And I want to do 7 speeds, a cantata for children. And it's called Nature Force. I got it in some restaurant somewhere some years ago. And I found it in my seminary files the other week, which files I hadn't looked at for 10 years. It's Lois said, why didn't you throw it away? And I didn't know until last week I needed it. Now, Ken, what it says here, it says how fast birds fly and how fast animals run and how fast fish go. So you got air speed, land speed, and water speed. That's fantastic. I can't imagine how much homework I'd have to do to find that out. So I would like to have play 40 miles an hour, okay? And I'll just throw out some marvelous words, and you imagine rhyming those words, 40, okay?
Are we going to go any faster than this?
Oh, maybe. I'm not used to answering drummers. Really, it's a really strange language. See, can you imagine asking a professor, are we going any faster than this? I mean, okay. Now, this is marvelous. 40. That's the owl. The owl flies 40. The jackrabbit goes 45, so that, pick it up a little. That's a jackrabbit. Now back to 40. The greyhound. That means that the greyhound can't outrun the jackrabbit. Wonder how they catch him. That's a side question. What do you do with side questions? Some people make their money off the side questions. Now, fish, just keep going, 40. The sailfish. Sailfish, owl, and what was the other one? And let me hear him, 40. Cheetah at 65. Hummingbird, 70. Housefly at 5. John, I'd like to have you go to piano and play something that feels like 5 miles per hour, as though it was sung in the church. Okay, play something 5 miles an hour. Anyway. Don't go away, Paul. All right. That's also polar bear music. Now, in the front of the hymnal, we have canticles. And canticles have in them all kinds of animals that praise God. Polar bears are never mentioned. You'll never find house flies. There'll be other animals mentioned. But can't, you know, see, if I'm going to just if I'm going to think, how can we sing creation that goes 5 miles an hour? I want somehow for the rhythm of it to feel like fine. That's, you're doing, just keep going. Now, keep going until you get to 25. And when you're 25, then I'll know that we're seeing pelicans. Pelicans. Roadrunners. Dolphins. We're practically doing this cantata. Right off this, what are these? That's right, placemats. some of these things escape me. Now let's just keep going in the church, and this is a church cantata. This is a canticle tonight. We're gonna go 35 miles an hour and watch the tuna. Isn't that nice? With the greyhound, a little faster. And the quail. The quail, the greyhound. We're with the fox now. Let's go 55. Gazelle. Wild turkeys and gazelles. How's that get you? Hummingbird at 70. Falcon at 100 miles an hour. Here we go, 100. He didn't ask where I was going. He doesn't know I'm only here. Keep going. Marvelous falcon, eagle, 120. All right, and the last one, just before the offering, bring it up. The duck hawk at 175. I guess that's what goes through people's minds when they work with rhythm, like John and Paul and Ken and others. Don't you think that's what goes through people's minds when they work with rhythm, the rhythm of seasons, the rhythm of sounds, and the rhythm of everything from this 175 mile an hour bird to, where is man? Did you give us a 20 mile an hour speed? There's man with the sea turtle, with a roadrunner. How do blue jays? Let me hear. How do blue jays go? How do they sound? Let me hear it. Give me a blue jay. Keep going, 20. We got to have some blue jay music. Come on, let's give it blue jays. Go ahead. That was good. Keep going. That's more. That's the blue jay at 20, with man, with sea turtles, with penguins and dolphins and whales. Everything at 20. Can't you see it? What a world! That's what this chart says. I'm just reading this chart, and he's over there. All I'm doing is calling out a few things, and we're making a connection called rhythm, speed, the kingdom of the earth, the kingdom of the sea, and the kingdom of the sky in chorale form. He got a canticle. All right, I want to ask you, before we go a little farther, left or right, up or down, what's this mean? What does this mean? What does this mean? Gospel rhythm. What are you discovering? What are you uncovering? What are you renewing? What are you reviewing? What are you enjoying? What is it? What are you perceiving? What are you imagining? Tell me.
Connections.
Life. All right, connections. Isn't that marvelous? There's a course called Connections in seminaries. Hermeneutics, I think, has to do with making connections somehow and interpreting. That's what connections is all about. What else? What
variety.
Do you... Pardon?
Variety.
I mean, it's... Variety is a spice of life, is something that we know all about without having to memorize and saying, what was that that's true? We know it. And what else are you noticing? Pardon? And what do you mean by that? Say it into a sentence. Who said it?
Me.
All right, what do you mean by difference?
Each thing is different,
but it's what?
Each thing is different, but it's all one.
That's almost like banner. If I had a banner factory, each thing is different, but they are all one. Each thing is different, but they are all one. Let me say, each thing is different, but they are all one. Is that about the way you said it? Well, let's hear it. Each thing is different, but they are all one. Once more. Each thing is different, but they are all one. It gets close to Colossians, somehow in that cosmic thing. I mean, there's not just one way to say it or see it or imagine it. Oh, we're... Where is it? Here. This is for you.
Thank you.
That's it. Let me hear you do that again. That's good. Just keep doing that. I mean, do it. Now do it as though you were really
a road runner.
Do it as though you were in the game. All right, now get a good rhythm like that, and some pauses make the rhythm. Pauses also make the rhythm. Oh, we got it going. All right, that's good. That's called a drummer. I wrote to a rhythm of Casey at the bat, of my Christ up to bat, and he hit a low pitch, and his mother was watching. Sorry, but that just came to my mind, so I wrote it. But I didn't know that I could read it to the rhythm of the mitt. Man. The man at the bat knew where he was at. They hollered for three, as loud as could be. Oh, waited the call, he took the next ball. The swift little brother tipped his hat to his mother. He hit a low pitch through a wall and a ditch. What a mixture of cheer, of quiet and fear. And that finally was that, for the thorns were his hat. It was a home run for the Saints and the sun.
If the organ breaks down, get a catcher. What is rhythm? Rhythm somehow just... one of the things that rhythm does is it creates a way for the flow to go.
It carries it.
Oh, I want this drummer. I want you now to set up, you know, get your whole drum set together, and we're all going to get into this, and I don't know how. We got enough stuff here, enough. We're going to enter your whole drum set. Okay? Why did you get those? What are you putting that in there for?
That's supposed to be a sizzle.
A what?
That's a ding cymbal.
A ding cymbal. Can you buy them?
No.
You can't buy a ding cymbal. What would a cymbal cost if you went out to buy a cymbal?
What kind of a cymbal?
Well, name one.
A ride cymbal?
All right, how much would it cost?
About $110.
$110. See what we saved tonight. And we got a ding cymbal. I mean, not only got a cymbal, we got a ding cymbal. All right, so what else have you got?
That's my ride.
That's your what?
That's my ride cymbal.
Your ride cymbal. All right, and that's your... Your ding cymbal?
Ding cymbal.
All right. And what else have you got?
Well, I've got a lot of special rocks here.
All right.
But I don't know if it...
All right.
They all ring. They all have a special sound.
All right, fine. You get us going, and we're going to do one of the great chorales of the church. That's what I just thought of. So I think we may as well go with it. but we'll have to find it. But we'll just go. Donkey down. You just say donkey. I know how we can do this. Just keep doing it. It's nice. I'm looking for two words that have the same, like we down here we could say, because you can see. We can say donkey, and you can say Jesus. When I go like this, donkey. When I go like this, Jesus. Palm Sunday, without any rehearsal. You know, I mean, what a choir. I'm not against rehearsals. I'm sure not against pipe organs. I'm not against choirs. I'm just saying once in a lifetime, get a tin can. Maybe at Holden, not at home. All right. Down here we say donkey, up there it's Jesus. But only when my hand directs that. Okay.
Keep that donkey sound going. Help save.
Help save.
Hosanna. Help save. Hosanna.
You can take Jesus and donkey too.
Hosanna.
Mix them up. May not be perfect. Where do you go? You see where you go. Where do you go? You see where you go. You wait. You connect. And you then see what organization you have in the room. Two tiers. You know two words. While you're doing two words, two more words come to mind. Hosanna. Help save. They mean the same. Paul, at the piano, you go to the piano and ask you some questions, okay? Paul left the session last evening having the idea that he would imagine green, this green, in another way. Which goes to prove that John really didn't have the right answer at that piano. I mean, yours was not the only answer of how to play green. Paul had an idea. I thought Paul was going to bring it on the guitar. What chords did you tell me when you left the room, Paul?
C, F, and G. I think C, F, and F will work.
He thinks C and F will work, but he said C, F, and G. Now, I don't understand that, so I've got now to trust Paul. Now, that makes community. That means I've got to imagine now that Paul can say something to me. Now, I'm ordained. How old are you, Paul?
17.
Now, Paul's going to say something to me. I don't feel like a dummy, but I don't even know what those three things are that he's talking about. What were they again? Can you play me a C? I'm going to assume that he read his commentary well and that what he's saying in that pulpit is true. I mean, at some point one has to trust one has to trust each other, and I find that I can trust 17-year-olds a lot. So give me the other chord that you talked about. He was very kind. He told me which one that was. I could have figured out maybe by the leftover. What was the third one? Do you think you need it? The last one, will you need it?
No.
All right. Play us this.
Short green.
A short green.
I saw that short green on TV. I think they used number 9 iron to get there, and they used a, is there a short putter you can use on a short green? That's called fooling around. Now, I know we're more serious than that, and we try very hard to be serious, don't we? And most of us are very good at it, right? And it's very hard to get funny, isn't it? And it's hard to buy funny books. It's really hard to keep a funny thought. It's even hard sometimes to have a new imagination or a dream, unless we don't eat well or we eat too much before we... But I'm talking about, what do you do with a fantasy? What do you do with the imagery that comes to your mind? Do you chase it or do you welcome it? Do you enjoy it? Does fantasy and faith and fact and fiction, do those find themselves at home with you? Paul, I want you at the guitar again. And Roseanne, I want to read you a beautiful thing that you have not heard. I want you to play sparrow music. Now, I want you to think of a sparrow. I brought a beginning of a sparrow house here, and I just went out and found it. I mean, sparrows will go in here, won't they? Most sparrows I know.
They're your size now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, sparrows will do that. I'm going to put that up here. It'll come out. Some people do this before the people come. That's called preparing. That's called making sure you got all the bases covered so you don't have an accident. That is, it might not have come out, but it did. That's called success in the front of the people. But if it's called a knot. It's a sparrow house. A very, very beautiful person I know gave me a song a few years ago, and that song is called Sparrow Song. I'm going to ask you to do what you hear. The reason I'm holding this sparrow board is that I'm going to give it to Chris, who gave me the song. And this way, that means that this board is on location. You know what I mean? This board was here. That means this board becomes a souvenir. And when her father and mother wanted to shovel it out of her room, she can say, I have a souvenir. See, that means I've got some of my history hooked in here. And here is the marvelous song. Sparrow, sing your sweet, sad song. Announce the summer breezes as they ripple through your feathers, and sing for the rain as it softens the earth into patches of mud that you and children delight in. Sparrow, sing to the sunshine as it makes a delicate shadow of your soaring. And sparrow, screech to the ends of the heavens and to the foundations of hell as you watch your fragile child fall helplessly to the earth. Sparrow, screech to the sun, who only can warm her deadened form, to the rain, who only can wash the stain away after the blood has spilled. Screech to the breezes who cannot find strength enough to lift the tiny wings. But sing sweetly, sparrow, to the Lord, who knows when even one little sparrow falls.
I had an Easter rock festival once. I went out and got a rock on Easter, and I got a rock band. I gave each one a rock, and then Lois and I got 1,000 rocks because we thought 1,000 people would come. We had 800 rocks left over. I brought some wood, and I read this sparrow song on Easter night, and I asked who would build a sparrow house, and only one man there would. He's a chaplain of prisoners, but I didn't know that then. And he began the sparrow house, and they played sparrow music, and one of the band players died very soon thereafter in a motorcycle accident. And the Lord of the Sparrows, who knows that when one little sparrow falls, knew the boy on the motorcycle. And I took that sparrow house and hung it in the garage because it wasn't done. It was a misshapen, unfinished, vulgar form of a sparrow house. I took it to the seminary in Columbus, Ohio, on North Central Airlines quite a few times to one of my classes, and the men and women in the class continued to build the sparrow house. It's very hard for seminarians to build a sparrow house for credit. That was not all they did, but it was hard for them to get into the whole sparrow world, into the chaplain's world, into the prison world, into the affection world, into the mercy world, but they did. And they put a little cross in the front of the sparrow house, and as it was being finished, I kept taking it on the airplane to other workshops, and then the stewardess would wonder what it was. I told her she could have it if she'd guess, and none of them could guess that it was a sparrow house. I set it out one place, and someone thought it was a church, because it had a cross. I told them it was a church for sparrows, and they didn't like that at all. So I was more careful the rest of the weekend. The sparrow house was painted. It is beautiful, and the man who began to build that sparrow house doesn't even know it's done, and it's probably going to take me a few years to get the sparrow house back to him. And I'll tell him that I told you the story of the sparrow house. I told about the sparrow house in Europe. They could hardly believe it. And it's amazing how few people have built a sparrow house for sparrows at Easter, at an Easter rock festival. They're not expensive. Sparrow houses are not, doesn't take a great deal sometimes to have compassion. Sometimes this will work. Most sparrows would go in. They're not very fussy. It's easier to build a sparrow house, I suppose, than it is a wren house. I built very few sparrow houses. This is so nice. And in the meantime, you can close it up for winter. And this is really gorgeous. I don't know how it goes, but when Chris gets this, I don't know if Chris is in the room, but if she is, I would like to give it to her. Is she here? Oh, you are. Here you are, Chris. Now you can take that to Concordia College, and when I come up there in October for Senior Day, I'm going to ask you how the Sparrow House is doing. That'll give you something to do if your classes aren't too interesting. Well, now I want to spend about 5 more minutes with you. I want to sir, why don't you come here with me? And you get over here, and you stay with your sticks. And you get at the piano, John, and you get with the guitar. We'll get what we got. And you want to do the same? Okay. Thank you. Okay, play what you're seeing. And I want the rest of you to think of the rhythm in the life of Christ. When in that whole story of Christ, where in the whole story of Christ do you see this? And you could say it, but if you shouted it, then we'd have the words to the music. We got brand new music going now and brand new choreography. And why don't you move the chair and you do the choreography behind it? And you can take pictures and we'll get a bulletin series. I'll write the back of it. Basement for a month. A rock band. This is cheaper than some of the stuff you can buy. It's all there because it's with you. Tell a story, and we're going to leave. I found this. It's surprising what you can find. A few years ago, one of my sons, who's coming in from Europe soon, he and a friend made this, and it was so beautiful. It was a rhythm instrument on a tub, and I would really like it if we could get this ready for him. So I just thought I'd get it out before it gets ruined more. It's called What is this? What's it called? What's this piece called? What's it called? Is it a neck? Is it a neck? A neck. This will be called the story of the return of the neck. The renewal of the neck. That would be like having pity on a sparrow. Maybe some of you could try it on a ruined neck. The closing story.
Yeah, that's nice. I want you. Have you ever been a drummer? Try your knees. Slapping, that's good. Beautiful. This is a nice.
We got some extra drums here.
What do we do? Well, we'll tomorrow night we've got extra drums. It's good. I like that ding-a-ling over there too once in a while. Oh, and play this. I was in Burlington, Wisconsin. I like Wisconsin. I like Burlington. It's a town where they have a national convention of liars once a year. And I wrote about it in several of my books. And in but the story goes like this. It was around Halloween and Reformation Day. Those come about the same time. And for some reason. And so I went out and got pumpkins for Halloween, not for Reformation. But I used them for Reformation. I had them sit around the pumpkins and imagine and enjoy a pumpkin, the way you could enjoy a fly that goes 5 miles an hour, you know, or falcon. But enjoy the pumpkin. And they did. And when they were enjoying the pumpkin and really got into it and every group knew it's pumpkin, I said, now think of who Christ is. And as you think of who Christ is, start dealing with the pumpkin. And let those get together. And they did. Some carved crosses, triangles. Some cut the pumpkin open, took the seeds out, and put them on the free throw line. Think about that. The custodian never figured out what that meant. What would pumpkin seed on the free throw line have to do with who is Christ to me? I didn't even ask him to. I did not catechize him. I was just amazed. And one group got very loud. I thought they were going to fight. They could not agree. Then they agreed. They were silent and they said, I came over and they said, I said, yes. They said, tomorrow night, will you come to the park and see what we have thought? I came to the park at 6 o'clock, Halloween night. I was the only one in the park. Walking around Burlington, Wisconsin in their park, the policemen patrolling the city. I felt like a criminal. I hadn't done anything. I was just there because I said I would. Through the bushes come 8 kids with 2 pumpkin pies. They had thought of who Christ is. They had looked at what a pumpkin is. They had recognized what a pumpkin really wants to do is to become food. And we were so cold, we hugged each other, we prayed, we sang a beautiful hymn of the church called Blessed Be the Pie That Bind. They loved it. They laughed. They said, pie? Yeah, the pie is binding us. And tonight, what does bind us? Christ, rhythm, drums, guitar, cameras, dancing, ropes. What ties us? Christ through pie, through food, through Holden, through birds, through falcons, through sparrows. Christ through flesh, earth, us. Gotta control these people. Ten years he had practice. And you're doing very well. First time, see? Free lessons at Holden. Good night and thank you.
I have nothing against blackboards. I like them. I have nothing against paper, I like it, but blackboards and paper always want to go to how it was before the blackboard and the paper, and that is the event, the story. And tonight, I thought I'd spend some time with you doing and talking about something you already know, and that is that you know stories. And you know more stories than you know facts. You know more, most of your theology, most of your faith, if you were to translate it, would not be translated into English, but it would, or maybe even Lutheran, as much as it would be translated into stories. And if you could, you would tell stories. I want to tell a story about one night in New Orleans. I knew I was to be in the front of and with and in the middle of 20,000 young people and older people, and I wanted somehow to be near someone in that group whom I didn't know. I knew that a little baby would be baptized on Sunday, so I decided to go out and buy Joshua, whom I had never met, a pair of shoes. So I went to a store, and if any of you were there, you know it was the day it was pouring rain. I went through the rain to buy shoes for Joshua. And the man who waited on me said, how old is the kid or the person? I said, he's a baby. He said, how big? I said, I had never seen him. He said, what size are his feet? I said, I don't know. He said, are they big or little? And I said, I couldn't tell. He said, I don't think I can help you. And I said, don't go away. He said, what do you think you should do? I think I should look at shoes, I said. So he took me where there were sandals, because I wanted to buy Joshua sandals, because Joshua was going to go sloshing through some water the rest of his life. And I knew that. So he said, which ones do you want? And I said, how about when he's 10? He said, how big will his feet be? I do not know. This man and I, whom we had never met, but here we were picking out shoes for a baby I had never seen, for when he would be 10, whose size feet I did not know. And finally he said, why don't you just pay me when you found them? So I found them and I paid him. And I went into the Superdome, and I decided that what I needed was to take them with me on center stage, so I found some string. I didn't know where to go to find string. I went to the third world, and there I found a piece of twine in the third world, and I tied it together. And I wore them around my neck in center stage the night of the wet walk to the river, and no one said anything, as though it was strange or anything. I had the sandals around my neck. And that night we had communion in one of the rooms, and the room was full, and I brought these shoes with me, and there was no musical instrument, and so for us to sing, a drummer took Joshua's shoes and gave us the beat, and the only musical instrument we had that night was the shoes, premiering The Walk of the Boy. I brought those shoes here. They got lost between Texas and here, finally arrived, and I put them somewhere at home one day when I was cleaning up my things, and I put them away. I can't find them now. But somewhere in my house are Joshua's shoes. And I think about it almost every time I go into my house. I think of Joshua. What I shouldn't have done is bought those sandals. I got Joshua on my mind now. You know, I shouldn't have that souvenir. I've got Joshua on my mind. I was just trying to get through one night in the Superdome, and I've got Joshua on my mind. Now, I told you the story. Those sandals were on the altar one night here a year ago. And when the sandals were on the altar, was a little girl sitting on the altar. And she and her mother were so glad. They needed us that night. And that girl sitting on that altar straightened up and looked at us all. And she knew that we knew that she was there. And she tied us together with Joshua's shoes. I'm still hunting Joshua's shoes. And he lives somewhere in Iowa. I'll probably have to look him up. I'm not even his godfather. How did I get involved in all of this? This crazy story of what? Of caring, getting connected, wanting to know what in the world is this family called the baptized ones? How do you get in there? How do you hang in there? Who cares? How do you care? When can you buy a gift? And what do you do with it? If I gave it to him too early, he might eat it. I gave it to him when he's 10, he has to wait. I told his mother and father, I'll see him when he's 10. I wonder if they remember. Worries me. They're in Iowa sometime, somewhere. When I go there and find the POW camp that Alex was in, I'll also look for this other boy who's growing up in Iowa. It's a story. Did I finish the story? By telling you I gave it on. I blew it in the wind. I sailed it. I flew it. And that's how the gospel has always gone. It's gone like gossip, because gospel and gossip sort of are the same kind of words. Good news gets out, and you can't really shut it down. What's that mean? To me, it means tonight that the gospel, theology, systematics, church history, the catechism, faith, all those turn into tiny stories that someone could tell if someone would listen. And those are called illustrations. And sometimes we buy books because we don't ask each other. And we get all kinds of illustrations from 100 years ago because we don't get anything, maybe, or enough from today. But the stories are out there. Our friend Wes and I went for a walk. Give me a song that you think Wes would like. And I'll tell you a story. Once upon a time, there was a man